You've probably heard about the movie Overcomer, but you may not know that there are a few books and Bible studies inspired by the film. One is called Defined by Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, which is a book and Bible study based on insights from the book of Ephesians. Filled with personal stories and practical wisdom, Defined will challenge you to let the one who knows you best be the one who guides your heart the most. Another book for teens and young women is called Radiant by best-selling author and co-star of Overcomer, Priscilla Shire. For these teen girls, there's also the Defined Bible Study, an invitation for teen girls and young women to enjoy a candid conversation on identity with Priscilla Shire. You can find these books and Bible studies at lifeway.com/overcomer.
Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of the Group Answers podcast show. I am Brian Daniel with Chris Surratt.
What's going on, man?
Welcome to September 2019.
Yeah, we are moving quickly into fall.
Oh, it moves so fast.
Which is a good time for a lot of things. It cools down a little bit around here. And it's also a lot of like groups, small groups are getting ramped up, kind of getting into the swing of things. I know our group is. September's kind of when we kind of get our rhythm, so it's a good time of the year.
Yeah, we've just started ours back up after taking a summer hiatus. Is that how you say that word?
Steve, can you?
I only know it in the Greek, so I'm sorry.
Bring him in, Chris.
Yeah, we're excited to have Steve Gladen in the room.
In the studio. Wow. Steve, we call this a studio. It's not a room. This is a studio.
This is a, man, when you look at the pictures, man, this is a fancy studio.
You've been on the podcast several times, but I think, is this the first time you've been live with us?
I think so. Usually I'm on the, you know, I'm on a, you know, what do you call it?
On the telephone?
Video call or telephone video or call. Something like that.
Yeah.
But rarely with you guys face to face. So, yeah, this what a treat. Can you believe you brought me out on the private jet and everything? So.
I know, just for this podcast.
Yeah, just for this podcast.
Dude. We don't let that get out. Only certain people get that, Steve.
Oh, sorry, man.
Yeah, keep that to yourself. Right?
Okay. Our new president probably doesn't need to hear that.
He does not need to hear it.
That is poor humor from me.
You know, we've got Heather Zimpel on next week, I think it is. Yeah. And Heather was a repeat guest or is a repeat guest.
I thought you were going to say she has a private jet.
Steve, she could build a private jet.
Yeah, that is true.
So
she has the energy to make a private
she's
jet.
She's got that and the aeronautical engineering.
That is true.
Steve's getting close. This is maybe Steve's fourth time.
Yeah, maybe.
On the show. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
So in Saddleback fashion, you got to have me for five times because we want to fulfill all of the purposes. So
of course
it's trying to help you guys out there, and shameless plug to please bring me back.
Well, we joke that there's a five timers jacket, but I like your five purposes. Yeah,
we should
have themed them like every episode was a different purpose.
You know, I would have done it that way, but you know,
and then turn it into an acrostic and we'd have the
and
whole thing
it, and made it a purpose-driven podcast.
Yes.
So for those of you that don't know, Steve has been executive pastor of small groups at Saddleback Church since 1998 and serves as an elder there. Steve oversees the strategic launch and spiritual development of more than 7,000, that's 30, adult small groups on multiple campuses. He is the author of Small Groups with a Purpose, which has been translated into 11 languages, and Planning Small Groups with Purpose. He has a driving passion to see each church attendee connected to a qualified shepherd and becoming an integral part of their church body, living purposefully for Christ. Steve and his wife, Lisa, have been married for nearly 30 years. Nearly 30 years probably means 29, right?
Actually, it's 30, June 17.
There you go. I have two children, Erica and Ethan, and reside in Orange County, California. Learn more about Steve at stevegladen.com and coming up on a second college drop-off, as I understand.
Yes, sir. My goodness. It's
are you ready?
We are not. So I'm here doing a podcast because I just want to, you know, denial.
We did our first one a couple of years ago, and I think it's one of the hardest things I've done in my life. Mm. Driving away, leaving your little girl.
Mm. Lifetile. Get a lifetile in the game of life for that one.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Steve, let's start here because you are everywhere. I mean, you in countries, you host a lot of conferences, you spend a lot of time with churches. What are some of the group trends that you're seeing out there right now?
Well, I'm probably one of the most foremost ones that I see is, you know, as the church is really grappling with where does technology fit in, they're trying to figure out, you know, where Facebook has so many groups and where so many social medias are grouping people. How do we do that virtually? And so obviously online groups, virtual groups, however you want to pair it out, that is probably one of the top ones that's floating out there. I would probably say just thinking through, you know, metrics. I think a lot of groups, people are trying to get a better grip on metrics and just not the number of groups are out there or the number of group leaders, but where's health really going to, and you know, trying to tighten that in. For a lot of churches too, I would see, you know, there is, if they can't make the switch on Sunday school, moving to more of a discussion-based and from a teacher base, I see a lot of churches, you know, just trying to struggle and grapple with, okay, either how do I strategically move to small groups for a different shot at discipleship? And if they can't just plainly afford another building, you know, how do I make small groups a viable aspect? Because it's a relatively cheap way to go. But I think those are some of the big three I can think off the top of my head.
What kind of advice do you give someone who wants to kind of shift from the Sunday school to the small groups? Do you tell them, kill the Sunday school right away, start some small groups? How do you answer that question?
Well, if I don't like them, I tell them, yeah, kill it right away. You know? But if they're a friend, I would say, you know, we say the adage, you can change the direction of a rowboat in about 6 to 8 feet. But an oil tanker takes about 10 to 12 miles. And so where on that continuum is your church at? And most of them are oil tankers and usually towing an oil tanker. So he's got to take time, and it's all relationally built. But, you know, the economy of churches is relationship. Much like in real estate, it's location, location, location. So, you know, I tell them to relationally, you gotta just build all kinds of relational equity. Make sure nobody's surprised. Make sure everybody's on board. Make sure you have a plan. And I wouldn't kill it anyways. I would start with small groups and then slowly build the equity with teachers and see, hey, this is what we're trying to produce in a disciple. And can you help us get there? And there might be some other alternatives to make it there. So it's a slippery slope, but it's nothing that's going to happen quick. Yeah. No change happens quick. And so there's five levels of renewal. That'd be a whole separate podcast, but that we teach people to go through. But those are some of the top ones.
Cool. Related question, and you're unique in this way, and Saddleback is unique in this way. Saddleback is a long ways away from a church plant, right? Yeah. But you guys plant a lot of churches and have over the past, 36 to 48 months been big in the church planting business. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you are, like Chris said, the events and your speaking engagements, you interact quite often probably with church planters.
Yep.
So what counsel or advice do you give or would you give a church planner about launching a group ministry? What are those 1, 2, 3s? Yeah. You got to be sure you do this and lay this groundwork or you're in trouble.
Well, I'm a huge groups person. I mean, I made my life on that and banked on that. But ironically, one of the first things I would tell them that I learned from Saddleback is you build a church crowd to core. And I can turn, you know, a core, you know, I can build leadership into a crowd very easily. And so the whole strategy of building a crowd and then forming the core from it is, in some places, you know, they flip it around. But one of the things at Saddleback, and we've taught all our church planners, is that you got to build that crowd. Now, that's very, you know, not commonplace for small groups right away. But if you don't have that crowd, you can't make a group's culture if you don't have the people there. My dad always talked to me about when he thought I was going into business. He, you know, he was a Navy aviator, and he always said, you know, my plane's very important to me. But the aircraft carrier is extremely important to me. And if the carrier goes down, my plane isn't going off anything. And he said his whole analogy in business was, don't get locked into your department, but think of the whole church-wide system. So for a church planner, I'd say you've got to gather a crowd, and you've got to have a strategy. One of the things we tell our church planners is you need a relationship and you need a responsibility. The responsibility, when people have a responsibility in your church plant and everybody needs a job or they're not coming back, the natural byproduct that they'll feel is value. And they'll keep coming to the church and give you the most precious thing to them, which is their 168 hours. But the other piece of that is a relationship. And sometimes that happens in the job or the responsibility. But the next thing that needs to come from that on the relationship that keeps people wanting to give you their 168 hours is they have a void spiritually that has to be filled. And if you don't have a group, it's not going to get filled. And that's why the greatest value that distinguishes a group from a book club or a sports club or your group of friends is it's filling the void that people have spiritually. And so we're always talking to our new campuses that we launch, our new churches that we launch. You need a relationship and a responsibility. So I say work on the crowd events to bring the people in and then use the small groups to be able to build them up and to train them for and hopefully to send them out to do more church planning.
What are some examples of crowd events that you've seen work most effectively?
You know, some of the things I've seen Rick do that are just, he'll make up holidays. I remember when he made it Saddleback Valley, you know, some like whatever the month was, but he'd make it like a special day event for the Saddleback Valley. And I don't know if the Saddleback Valley knew that was happening, but he would create it. But capitalizing off of any marriage events, any felt need in the context of where you're at, a marriage one, a relationship one, a money one, you know, it just depends, you know, where the demographics are in your crowd. But any type of crowd event that can bring them to the church or the location of the church, and both in small groups and on the weekend, it's the content that brings people. They stay because of the community. Mm. And so
a parenting event would be
huge.
An example.
Yeah. I mean, especially when your target is generally most people go for, you know, young families. And so the great thing is you can launch like one of the great curriculums Rick has out there that we do after every parenting is how to raise your kids without raising your blood pressure. There is not a believer or non-believer that going, I think I'd like to do that for 6 weeks and learn more about that.
Yeah. If you're in groups ministry at all, if you've had anything to do with groups, you know that there are a lot of challenges. There's a lot of challenges to getting people into groups, to getting leaders and the right kind of leaders and healthy groups and just tons of challenges. But as you look at groups ministry as a whole, what are some of the top challenges that are out there?
Yeah. And again, before you even talk about groups, I have a lot of pastors that'll call me up and say, hey, I want a small groups ministry. And I'll go, okay, great. Now I have a question for you. And that is, if you have the perfect disciple next to you, what do they exude? And most churches haven't wrestled through saying, when I have a disciple and I've done my best, and we're not going to get the best till we get to heaven, but and I've done my best, what do they exude? And at Saddleback, we say, we want the five verbs in the Great Commission, Great Commandment, in the heart of every person, and we'll say in the heart of every group, in the heart of our church. And so many people don't know the unit of one in a corporate environment. When you know the unit of one, you can do mass replication once you have that unit of one. Lifeway would know that in curriculum and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But from the same size as a church, I would say, you know, one of the greatest challenges churches have is they don't have clarity on what a disciple is. What do they exude? Probably after that is, I would say, a common thing that I see derail groups is they don't have a plan in place. They don't have a strategic plan where they're working on saying, this is my playbook, this is my terrain. Now, how do I want to chunk it out and say, how do I hit a couple of the priorities and secondary or tertiary things in the year and have it mapped out? And then I would say the third thing is, and this is where I was going in my crazy brain, but it's where they get derailed is they lack focus. And when you work a strategic plan, nothing can get in the way of executing that plan. You are the only one. Those of you that are running point, you're the small group point person at your church. You are the only one thinking about the strategic half of the church that's called house to house. When God designed the church, he designed it temple, courts, and house to house. And you may not be on platform, but biblically, you're a critical component to seeing the health of your church happen. So you've got to think on that, and you've got to understand that God puts you in a place that people may not know you or see you on the platform, but God sees you, and it's an important role.
So this next topic, no adversity here, right? Online groups. So you've never had any counter argument to online groups. Okay. Right? It's never happened. So
everybody loves that.
Everybody loves it, right? But regardless of how one may feel about social media and the digital age, you guys, Saddleback, have had some success with online groups.
Yeah.
So the question is, like, as you have become more steeped in this, as you have learned more about how it works, as you guys have launched more online groups, have you come to any conclusions about how replicable this is for any church? Is this something that's unique to a certain mentality, community, or leadership? Or is this something that you feel has some merit with a widespread adoption or implementation?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's going to start in our own hearts first. I mean, your driving force has to be change lives. I mean, and even the early disciples and, you know, for sure, Paul, they used the most modern technology of the day to spread the gospel, and that was writing letters. Not to us, that doesn't seem like anything. So if you're passionate about changed lives, you're gonna try to ooze your way into every nook and cranny to make it happen. And there's no doubt that the digital age has opened up a huge environment. I mean, I talk to churches about their First Impressions ministry, and I tell them, you know, long before anyone has dropped onto your campus physically or your church physically, they are looking at you online. And what they see online is what they're going to look at. Digitally, Yelp. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm going to any of the 1 million great restaurants in Nashville, I'm looking at Yelp to see that thing. Most churches don't even look at their own Yelp review to see, you know, where they're at. So the digital age is there. Now, the question is, do you want to embrace it or not? So let's assume that our listeners want to embrace it with that. Then I would say the beautiful thing about technology, when we first started out, there weren't many things to service us well. So we actually, in the early days, we built our own platform to make that happen. But in today's technology, there are so many things available for you. I remember when Facebook was looking at us before they went to Facebook groups, and they were trying to, and you have a secular company looking at the church, which I loved, because usually it's always vice versa. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is, if the church has any internet capability, you have the chance to impact lives that are out there in the digital world. So that's number one. Number two, I would say is, understand you can't do everything at once. So you got to see, where's the health of our church to begin with? And am I doing some of the basic blocking and tackling before I open up a new page in my playbook to make that happen? But I would say it's very accessible. Jay Cranda, who is our online pastor, you can email him at jayk@saddleback.com, which I'm sure he'll love me. And I'd love to give out a cell number, actually, if I had it available on me. He has done a lot of work that can help you walk through the nuts and bolts of doing it. So I would say, if you have a desire, we are more than willing to come alongside you and help you build those platforms or use the accessible platforms that are out there for free to help change lives happen in community.
And you've talked about that at least a portion of your virtual groups have actually become physical groups.
Yeah, I mean, we always want to meet them. And that's Chris, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's a great point. You want to meet people where they're at and take them to where you want them. So right now, we're going to meet them in the virtual world. We're not going to leave them there, but we sure want to meet them where they're at. And then you're right, 60% of our online groups, they're labeled online groups, but they're actually not. 60% of them meet in a home, and they start out in a virtual environment. And it's funny, a lot of them use fake names because they're that scared of what's going to happen. And then slowly they open up and they give the name. But then when we have a campaign come around, we always challenge and say, do you have two friends and you could start this out as a physical small group? And then we'll eventually build. For some cities where we have clusters of groups, we'll say, can you meet together and do the temple courts part? Mm. And so we're trying to push them take them slowly but surely out of their comfort zone, out of the digital age and into the physical age.
That's good. Let me ask you this. Who has been the most influential leader or leaders, your go-to throughout your ministry in the group space? Because I think we all need somebody that is either personally mentoring us or virtually mentoring us. I have them. Who has been yours?
Well, I mean, in the early days, and they're both still living today, but Roberta Hestness, when I was at Fuller working on my MDiv, she introduced us to, discipleship in groups. And they actually had a whole class on that back in the early 80s. And so she played a formidable piece. And both you and Brian know that I'm not the best reader. I mean, it's hard for me to read, and that's because of some of my own disabilities and stuff like that. But her class was on cassette tape. And so a lot of it I listened on cassette tapes, and a lot of our listeners won't know what that is. But
for half our listenership, right. It's this little kind of box thing.
Disquit. But then she had a protege that came around named Julie Gorman, and both those ladies played a huge role in discipleship and formation, spiritual formation, and then carrying that out in groups.
And you've had Roberta at Accelerate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah. Well, I had her at the lobby and with that. Then after that, I'd say the next generation, I got introduced to Carl George and Lyman Coleman in the late 80s and early 90s that played a big role in that side. Then there's, some of the guys that I got to know who were all kind of in that early zone. Bill Donahue, Bill Willits are close friends today and have played that role. And then what I love also is there's gatherings that Lifeway does. There's gatherings, Chris, you do them. Mm-hmm. And there's gatherings that the Small Group Network does through called The Lobby. And it's just getting more peer-to-peer, and the network has huddles where even in Southern California, we huddle together with other small group point people. So it's kind of, in this stage of my life, it's more peer-to-peer, and I love learning from other folks. Lifeway just did an event just a little while ago that was, again, just like that, gathered some thought leaders together, and I came as a participant, as a attendee, and learned so much from it. So, mm-hmm. That's kind of been the progression, now in today's digital world, boy, you can Google anybody or, go on YouTube and get, those virtual mentors, but a little old school and I still love the face-to-face.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when you had to get cassettes and now you just Google. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing.
Of course, now they know all about us, but that's okay.
That's all right. Yeah.
All right, Steve, you've been in ministry for, now quite some time and I'm sure you are a mentor of several people. But what I would like to know is there a single moment or single decision, if given the chance over the course of your ministry, is there something that comes immediately to mind that you would go back and change?
Doing this podcast?
Just now.
Just now.
Just now. I don't really want to answer this question.
We've heard that before.
Yes, I bet you have.
Yeah. It's the group answers hot seat.
It is. I don't know if I'd go to a specific one, but I would share one that I think all of us have Achilles heels in our ministry that there's blatant sins that are, those Achilles heels that can take us down. But I would say probably the one that haunts me the most is fear. And I think because I grew up with some disabilities, because I wasn't the ESPN 300 or, the top player in the spiritual world, probably all my contemporaries would go, I didn't think he would do that. I think there's been a lot of, just personal things where I probably feared, I let fear get the better piece of me in making a decision. And I think when God lays something on your heart, the toughest thing to do is be obedient to it. And many times there's some things I ended up doing later on in life because, God gives you a leash, but doesn't, he always lets that leash run out. But I think if I could rewind some things, I would execute quicker on some of the things God told me to do. I think I would always go, why me? Or there, I could think of a number of better people, God, that you could use, or more qualified, better scholars, better readers, better everything. So I think that's one. I probably still battle that demon a lot, you know, trying to take big, bold steps and have daring faith.
Yeah, I think it's a common one for all of us. I know, thinking back through, we always think, well, I can't do it. I can't write that book, or I can't start that ministry, or I can't lead that group.
Yeah.
And you do a great illustration in one of your books about the kind of taking the next opportunity.
Yeah.
And then crawl, walk, run, and that leads you to the next opportunity and kind of working out that fear that the devil wants to put in there.
Yeah, and it really, it's funny you bring that up because it was born out of my own life, you know, because whenever you have an opportunity, you're going to gravitate towards a risk or let fear paralyze you. And sadly to say, I wish it wasn't so, but sometimes fear got the best of me and I didn't step out. But when you're willing to step out and the risk is developmentally doable through the crawl, walk, or run, it builds your faith, and we see that through the life of David. So, yeah, that's a great question. I think I would listen to these podcasts just for that question on every one of them. But those would be great learning. You should take the snippets from every person and put that into one podcast, and that'd probably just go off the wall.
Yeah. We want to, at the end here, shout out another podcast that's on our network family. It's a new one called Unseen Leadership, and it's hosted by Chandler Vannoy and Josh Hunter. They explore the unseen stories that have made leaders who they are today. This is a podcast for young leaders to learn from those ahead of them by exploring the early days of their leadership, understanding the mistakes they made, and identifying the habits that shaped them, all to help you lead in the future. Just look up Unseen Leadership on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.
And speaking of subscribing, Chris,
we'd love for you to subscribe
We would love for you to subscribe to the Group Answers Show. But even if you're not going to do that, if you would take the time and go to wherever you are streaming or downloading and be kind enough to give us a rating, or even better, leave a comment, that's huge. I spend sleepless nights waiting for those comments to come. Actually, that's an overstatement. As we know, I'm prone to that. But we do look at those. We would love to hear from you. That's one of the ways we can interact. Also through Twitter, you can follow Chris on Twitter. But if you leave a comment there, then we do use those from time to time to inform future show topics. So let us know via those comments and subscribe to us today. Well, Chris, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Group Answers Podcast Show, a member show of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Steve Gladen, it is always, always, always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's always fun to be with you too.
Thanks for sharing your day with us. I'm Brian Daniel for Chris Surratt. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Group Answers Show.